The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Folks, you're listening to another teaching time from the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of the church. And on this particular Sunday, which was the third in Advent, the Gaudete or Joy Sunday, our associate pastor for intergenerational discipleship, Dr. Rick Ashe, took a look at the four Sundays in Advent and asked a very interesting question. Is Advent a mathematical equation? And also this one, are you missing out on joy, or at least part of it? Join us now as Dr. Rick Ashe teaches us a sermon titled, The Advent Equation. The Lord be with you.
We're going to be looking at a variety of different texts today, so there is not a specific place to turn. However, if you would like to, you know, make some notes somewhere, if one or two or three of the verses or sets of verses strikes you, do so. We're looking at a variety of places. I'm really excited about this. Philippians 4:4 says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. Boom. Hashtag mic drop, hashtag full send. Half of us probably are like, okay, I kind of agree with that. And the other half of us are like, I don't know if I'm there. Transparently, the last couple of months have been very difficult for me. And this, when I read it, I go, I'm not there. It hit me like a ton of bricks over Thanksgiving break when my daughter was up and we were all together as a family and we were decorating the house, you know, the Christmas stuff and putting the Christmas tree up and all the ornaments and they were playing the music and everybody was having a good time. And there was just something, I wasn't there. And it really bothered me. And of course, as the Lord would have it, Chris asked me, hey, would you do the third Sunday, which is Joy Sunday? So here I am, and I'm just going to let you guys know that the Lord has spoken to me, and I hope he does to you as well. I'm just going to let you know that, like, I'm getting there, but this has been one of those seasons where joy has been very difficult. So I have two questions for you that the Lord kind of revealed to me as we get started here. What if Advent is a mathematical equation? What if Advent is a mathematical equation? And then the second one, what if some of us here today are missing the other half of joy? Let's pray together. Father, open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us this morning. We come from different places in our spirits, in our minds. Lord, for some of us, we are ready to step into this and be joyful. And for some of us, we're struggling. I pray that you would give to all of us this morning a word that we can respond to, that we can live out in our lives as we move forward in anticipation of the birth of your Son. Amen. Okay, so mathematical equation. Here we go. I kind of rearranged from what we normally do, kind of made them straight across here, our banners. Hope, love, joy, peace. Joy pulled forward a little bit because it is, after all, Joy Sunday. But here's what I was thinking, and this is what I want you guys maybe to wrestle with. Hope, love, joy, peace. The four Sundays of Advent are kind of like a mathematical equation. So follow me, and hopefully this makes sense, and I'm not just a crazy person. Over here, you have hope and love. Hope and love are the hope plus love component of the mathematical equation. Hope and love are the things that are done for us on our behalf. Hope is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. You cannot manufacture hope because in and of ourselves, what we believe, according to scriptures, is that we can't find hope in ourselves, right? So it has to come from somewhere else. So it has to come from Jesus. That's what we believe about hope. And love, as much as our culture around us is all about self-love today, we know that that's a straight-out lie. And you and I know that, honestly, it's kind of hard to love ourselves, right? And it's kind of hard to give ourselves grace, especially, you know, drag yourself out of bed in the morning. I look in the mirror and I'm like, whoa. So hope and love are not about you and I. They're actually about Jesus and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do, and more specifically, who he is. All of that together generates for us a reality of hope and love. And so when you and I recognize that hope and love come from Jesus Christ, you and I then, as we progress in this mathematical equation, we can root ourselves in hope and love, and that is our joy. See, a lot of us try to get whipped up into the emotion of the season or feeling like we somehow owe each other or ourselves or the Lord some level of emotion when we show up here. But joy is not a feeling. It's a being rooted in the already reality of Jesus Christ, the hope he provides, and the love that he extends. So hope and love allows us to respond in joy. And when we do that, when we respond to who Jesus is and what he's already done in hope and love, we live out, we embody joy, and in that, it equals peace. Yeah. That's when we experience peace. When you and I root ourselves in hope and love, that's called joy, and when you do that in that order, you get peace. You have a sense of peacefulness. Why? Because it's not up to you and I. Your hope is not built on you putting it together, figuring it out. Your love, the sense of feeling like you have a value and a worth, and your ability to love other people is not rooted in you. It's rooted in Jesus and what he's already done for you, right? Yes. Is that an amen? Does this make sense? So hope and love, hope plus love, leads us to a response of joy. And in that, if we do it correctly, we can experience peace in our lives. These two over here are revelation. We talk a lot about this. This is what our whole worship liturgy is built around, that God reveals himself to us, and then we respond. Do you see a mathematical equation? The revelation of Jesus Christ, his hope and love towards us, and then the response is the joy and the peace that we experience in him. Not only that, but check this out. This side of the equation is unconditional. It's already been done for you. Hope is available to you right now, no matter how you feel. Love is available to you right now because God loved the world so much. Not you. You and I can't love the world so much that we would sacrifice our only kid, but God did that for us. And if this side's unconditional, this is our conditional response. We get the privilege, the choice to respond with joy and experience peace. So joy is a response. Listen to this. I'm going to give you a bunch of these here. 1 Kings 8, verse 66. You don't have to go there because I'm going to rattle off a bunch. Just listen to this. They blessed the king, and they went to their homes joyful and glad. Now listen, because the Lord had been good to his servant David and to the people Israel. The Lord was the one good. They responded in joy. Nehemiah 8:12 says, so the people went away to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's word and understood it. So God had revealed to them the truths of his word, and they responded to that revelation with joy. Psalm 21, how the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. He shouts with joy because you, the Lord, have given him victory. It just keeps going on and on here. Psalm 59, verse 16. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love, Lord. Luke 2:10. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The angel is the one bringing the revelation. And then we, the whole of the world, respond with joy. Romans 5, now listen to this. This is really interesting. Romans 5, verses 1 through 3. You may want to write this one down. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, which is a response to the hope and the love up there, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. Listen to verse 3. We can rejoice. We can be joyful. We can experience peace when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Philippians 4:4, always be joyful in the Lord. So here's an interesting question. How does the devil get in and mess with this equation and mess it up? Because you may be like, Rick, I'm not experiencing joy. That's been me for the last couple. I've been struggling with joy. Rick, I'm not feeling peace. I'm not experiencing peace in my life. There's been a lot of that in the last couple of months for me as well. And I got to thinking about this and I went, it's just the oldest trick in the book, isn't it? Think about this for a second. In the Garden of Eden, God came to Adam and Eve, and he said, you can have anything that you want in this garden. Just that one tree over there, that's the one we're going to set aside that we're not going to mess with. But everything else is 100% yours. Be fruitful and multiply. Enjoy everything, right? That's what God did for Adam and Eve, for humanity in the beginning. And what does the devil do? He shows up and he goes, hey, come over here. Let's talk about this one tree. Did you notice, guys, that God isn't allowing you to mess with this one tree? Did you know that this one tree has this knowledge of good and evil thing that you don't have right now? You're missing out. It's lack. The devil's one-trick pony scheme is lack in your life. And so let's go back to our mathematical equation. If basically the only thing he ever does is try to convince you are lacking, then if we are struggling with hope in our life, if we are struggling to find hope, if we are struggling to be hopeful about ourselves, about our families, about our community, about our nation and the world right now, if we are struggling to find hope even in Christ, that's a problem. That's a lack issue. If we are struggling with love, if we are struggling to feel lovable, if we are struggling to love others as Christ has loved us, that's a lack issue. We're lacking some reality of truth about what Jesus has already done for you and I. That's what the devil does. God goes, you get all of this. And the devil goes, look over here. Look at this little tiny thing over here. Focus on this one little insignificant thing over here. And you may right now feel like it's not that insignificant in your life. I'm not trying to marginalize anything. But in light of what Christ has done for you and I, the devil tries to get you to focus on the lack, because if you don't have hope and if you don't have love, you can't experience joy and you'll never get to a point of peace and rest in your life. And that's his point. That's the goal for the devil, is for you and I to never feel at peace, to never feel solid on the rock of salvation, to always feel like we're getting kicked around by the culture. That's all he's got, is just for you to stop focusing on Jesus and stop focusing on the hope that's already been provided to you and the love that he has lavished into your life, and to focus on the struggle, the lack, the frustration, the disappointment, to get you to think differently about who you are instead of the reality of who you are in Christ. There's this band. My kid loves it. I loved it back in the day. This band called Cage the Elephant. And it's a funny band, not a Christian band. Great song. It was super popular, kind of coming back. Kind of a dirty South rock style song. And in this song, each of the verses, the singer from the band Cage the Elephant, he encounters a prostitute. And then he encounters a thief who wants to steal from him. And then he encounters the pastor of a church who stole all the money from the church. And the chorus goes like this, because there ain't no rest for the wicked, money don't grow on trees, I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed, there ain't nothing in this world for free. And that's the answer that the prostitute, the thief, and the corrupt religious leader give to him over and over through the song. So here's a question for you. Are you missing out on the other half of joy in your life right now? See, I believe not only is joy a response to the hope and love of Jesus Christ, I also believe that joy, or a big part of joy, is receiving and resting in the Lord for what he has already done for you and I. A lot of times we get sucked into this culture, this exhaustion, go, 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 be happy, everything's so great, and we have to be cheerful, and we get run ragged, because that's the other distraction, the lack of centeredness that the devil tries to take advantage of us with. Joy is not all an active outward expression. Joy has a huge element of receiving and resting in the Lord. As a matter of fact, this Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, Joy Sunday, and the reason why the candle's pink and it's differentiated from all the others is not because it's like happy, happy. It was actually in the ancient church, Advent was a lot like Lent, where there was a lot of discipline, a lot of fasting, a lot of additional prayer, worship gatherings and stuff. There was a stepping on the spiritual accelerator pedal during this time in preparation both for the return of Christ and for his birth and the celebration of his birth. This Sunday in particular, our ancient church family set aside to rest, to take a little bit of a break, to catch their breath from all of the intensity of the discipleship. It's built into joy to rest, not just to go, 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 go all the time. Here's a couple of verses I want to throw at you guys. Maybe write these down and look at them later. Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20. Listen to this. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty warrior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. Are you ready for this? He will rejoice over you with joyful song. Did you know that? See, you think you show up to Sunday morning to sing to the Lord, and it's clear in the Bible that he's singing over you right now. He's rejoicing over you right now with joyful song. You and I need to receive and rest in that, right? Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. The Lord provides these things to us. And then he offers us to simply respond and rest in drinking, soaking in this cup of salvation that he's already provided and laid up for us. Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. It's not your job to get to fight your way out of mourning. It's your job to be in that place and allow the Lord to be the one that clothes you with the new garments of joy and rest in him. Psalm 51, 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's God's salvation, the Lord's salvation, not yours. You don't have to restore that salvation. You and I don't have to figure out the mechanics of if we fall away or if we feel like we're not being joyful or we're realizing, oh my gosh, I've taken my eye off the hope and the love and I don't have peace right now. It's not built into the way God has designed this for you and I to have to restore that. He's already got it figured out. It's just the resting and receiving from him. He's already got the blueprint figured out. Hebrews 1:9. Your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you. And there's so much we could talk about this idea of oil being poured out onto a person. And there's so much imagery there. But it's the Lord who pours out the oil of joy into your life. You don't have to manufacture joy. It's already been provided. It's just that the Lord is saying, be in this place. Be rooted in the hope and love of Jesus Christ, and joy will come naturally from that. And then peace will be the result. So, cage the elephant. They say there ain't no rest for the wicked. And I have to tend to agree with them. I think you and I see the culture around us, and we see a frantic, frenetic pace that starts somewhere around October, and by the time we get to Christmas, everybody's like, I'm just done. I just want to be, I don't want to go to Walmart and be confronted by stuff to buy any longer. I'm done. But listen to this for a second. The singer of Cage the Elephant talked about a prostitute who said there ain't no rest for the wicked. Talked about a thief, said there ain't no rest for the wicked. Talked about a religious leader who was not leading his congregation the way that God had desired for him to. And the response was, there ain't no rest for the wicked. That's true until Jesus shows up on the scene. So check this out. In Luke chapter 7, it says, then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There ain't no rest for the wicked, but in Jesus there's peace. The thief in Luke 23, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. There ain't no rest for the wicked on their own. But when Jesus ends up in the middle of the situation, you experience paradise. And that religious leader, here's what Paul has to say. This was the guy who was giving the seal of approval to going out and hunting and murdering Christians. And after he encounters the Lord Jesus on the road and is radically transformed, a religious leader who had no rest because of his wickedness, hear what he has to say. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want to point out one quick thing. It's conditional. This is really important for us to recognize. Always be joyful in the Lord, then you will experience God's peace. This always then is a conditional. There are unconditional things that we don't have to participate in, that we just get to receive as gift. And then in the Bible, there are plenty of times where there are conditional promises to us. And so this is not conditional in the sense of like, oh gosh, I got to do something. This is conditional in the sense of you are being invited. You are being called into this. Here's the opportunity that God lays out. You want to know joy and you want to know peace? God says, focus on the hope and love of Jesus Christ. Joy responds to hope and love, that's living in Christ Jesus, and peace exceeds understanding and guards our hearts and our minds. So, I have a question for you. According to what we've talked about this morning, is joy an emotion? No? And happiness comes and goes, doesn't it? And that's fair. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're not. How is happiness and joy separate? I had a huge argument years ago with a guy about this. How are happiness and joy separate from each other? Besides one's an emotion. Let's go a little deeper than that. One is circumstantial. The other is rooted in a consistent relationship. Can we say that? Yeah. Joy is responding, receiving, and resting in the relationship. It's a position that you can exist in no matter what your happiness level and no matter what your circumstances are. And that's what I've learned over the last couple of months. In all Jesus is and has done and has promised to do. And perhaps that's why in Nehemiah 8:10, he tells the people who have come out of exile, the joy of the Lord is your strength. This morning, we have something special for you, and I'm very excited about this. We do like Taizé prayers, breathing prayers here, and a lot of them are confessional-based, and that's really good and really important. But this last Sunday, I was struck as I was thinking about this Sunday, just personally, honestly, I was like, it would be really cool for us as we move forward into the rest of Advent and into the Christmas season to have a simple prayer that isn't about confession and repentance, but is about the choosing, the conditional choosing to root ourselves in the unconditional promises of Jesus Christ, his hope and his love for us. And so if you guys grabbed your little piece of paper, this will help you along the way. So I gave Ellen the word idea and she wrote this. So this is ours, guys. And I wrote a song. So I'm excited for you. This is a blessing and a gift to you guys this morning. And my hope is that you can take this and this can be a part of your discipleship, perhaps for the rest of Advent and maybe for the rest of this new year that we've got coming up. So let's both sing and pray this together this morning as we prepare to come to the table.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you will I find my rest. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you will I find my home. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you I find my love. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you will I find my peace. In you will I find my rest. The joy of the Lord is I find my rest. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you will I find my home. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you will I find my love. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In you will I find my peace. In you will I find my
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.